12. Okay. Faith is look very nice. Look very happy. Parma karuna pahudvi jana. Itaigora chanda. Chaitanya Lamitranadeya, they come to tame the wildest people. They're very, very, very merciful. Parama Karuna. Karuna means mercy, Karuna, different types of mercy. Sometimes we use the word kripa, kripa koro, doya, karuna, and they indicate different degrees of kindness or mercy. When someone's like kripa is the type of mercy that a judge gives to a thief or a guilty person. All right, I'll let you off lightly. So it's sort of formal, and it's based on principles of morality or dharma, and sort of foregoing them. Then there's dhaya, which is more something that you would expect in religious circles amongst a priest, like when you have confession, something like that. I'll forgive you and absolve you of your sins. So it's it's more of a, has more of a spiritual connotation, and it's also based on spiritual principles, but it's a little more intimate, just like when you have confession. It's not in a courtroom, it's not with a whole bunch of people, but it's actually just between two people. And karuna means something that's really from the heart, like between a father and the son, being very, very kind. It becomes a natural sort of outpouring of the heart. And then Parama Karuna. They're supremely merciful like that. Parama Karuna, Pahu Dvijana. These two personalities. And Jan means people or men, and of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda are not ordinary men, but still they take the role of human beings, and of course whatever Krishna does, he does fully, he does very, very well, which means that when he wants to look ordinary, he can look extremely ordinary, more ordinary than the ordinary person. Of course, his features are not ordinary, because he's very, very beautiful, and his wisdom is beyond ordinary. But despite all these and other extraordinary characteristics, still he gives the impression of being a human being. Parama karuna pahu dvijana nitai gora chanda. So nitai and gora chanda, Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya. They're especially very karuna, very merciful to the people of this Kali Yuga, because we're really in need of that degree of mercy. We wouldn't really quite make it in a court of law in terms of being deserving of leniency. And even though maybe in a confessional, but there's only so many times you can go through confessional before that also becomes stayed, you could say insincere, something that Krishna Prabhupada said once, twice, three times, but then after that Krishna draws the line. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't draw a line. He's like parents, or at least good parents, that no matter what children do, they're always full of love and affection, and they're always ready to give. And so Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they're like that. Sankirtanaiva Pitaro, they're like fathers. They're like a father. And what is it that they give? They give the essence of Krishna consciousness, the process of pure devotional service. They describe what the goal is. They give us the strength to achieve that. But one has to rako ranga charanera pasa. One has to stay very faithfully, hold on to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. And then this material world, which is like an impossible ocean. Try and swim across the Atlantic. I mean, it's an impossible thing. Probably some people do try it, but still it's an impossible feat. But even if you could swim across the Atlantic or even the Pacific, which is wider, that's just still like a rivulet by comparison to what this material world is. And crossing over the unlimited ocean of material existence, it's a challenge. It's more than a challenge, it's more or less impossible. So in this Nityananda Ashtaka, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's quoting Lord Nityananda. I don't have it here. I'm just opening to this manuscript so I don't forget. That's what we're talking about. And he says, "Oh brother," meaning he brothers. He's referring to us, oh brothers, oh sisters. He says, just chant Krishna's name, just chant Hare Krishna. He says, and all take full responsibility to deliver you across to the other ocean of material existence. So you don't have to do anything else. You just chant Hare Krishna, and I'll do the rest, which is pretty easy. So that's really, in essence, our faith in Lord Nityananda. Interestingly enough, there's a song to Lord Nityananda, which is Nittai Pada Kamala. And somehow or another, it is printed in at least older song books. It was called Manashiksha. And it's not called Manashiksha, but it's called Nityananda Nishta. Nishta means faith, firm faith. So it means firm faith in Lord Nityananda. Nittai Pada Kamala Choti Koti Chandra Shushitala Yichai Jagata Judaya. So this Krishna consciousness movement, really, although our destination and our goal is to attain the service of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, but that's only possible, just like you see in the picture, where that's only possible by the grace of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Otherwise, it's what to speak of crossing over the ocean of material existence. When you cross over the ocean of material existence, then crossing into this spiritual world, that's like millions of times greater than the difficulty or all of the complications that are along with material existence. So in that sense, we can see that actually we're wholly and solely dependent upon this mercy, upon this karuna. We need parama karuna. We need supreme mercy. And the only thing that we really need to do is somehow or another try to take it. Sometimes even that becomes problematic, accepting the mercy of the Lord. But other than that, because we are what we are in Kali Yuga, and we're not even quite, don't even quite have the perspective of just exactly how fallen we are, because everyone around us is in the same boat, and so it's really hard to measure what it means to be fallen. But we are in a very sorry state. But that's all right. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Yitananda, they don't look at these things. They just look, is there any flicker or a spark of sincerity? And is someone calling out for their grace by chanting Hare Krishna? And if they are, then they're willing to give it. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami, who you know, is one of the six Goswamis, and in Chaitanya Charitamrita, every chapter ends Rupa Raghunath Padi. Rupa Raghunath Padi, Jara As Chaitanya Charitamrita Kohi Krishna Das. Rupa, by this prayer that Kaviraj Goswami writes, he's sort of signifying, indicating that Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami have a special significance in the lives of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Narottam Das Thakur also sings Rupa Raghunatha Dasi Hoibe Akuti Kabe Hava Yugala Se Yugala Kabi Hava Se Bhaja Yugala Piriti. When I'm eager to read the books written by Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswami, then I will be able to understand what is actually the Yugala Piriti, the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Rupa Goswami is our Rasa Acharya. Aside from that, he's also in one aspect the founder of our Krishna consciousness movement. We say, Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutaya Swayam Rupaki. Rupa Goswami put into motion this mission of fulfilling the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when you have a mission, then you have to have a mission statement, or even broader yet, you have to have a constitution. So Rupa Goswami particularly, and his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that is really the constitution of the Krishna consciousness movement, at least in terms of its theology. How you practice Krishna consciousness, what is its goal, what is steps in order to achieve that goal, what are the specific symptoms of those steps, how one achieves each step by step, and what are the pitfalls, everything. Rupa Goswami is the teacher, he's the Shiksha Guru of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Now how do you put Rupa Goswami's teachings into practice? So if we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami gives him quite length Raghunath Das Goswami's lifestyle, how he would actually live. So Raghunath Das Goswami shows us how to, when we see his both his teachings, and this is one that we'll read, as well as his own the way that he lived, the way that he worshipped, then he's the embodiment of putting into practice what Rupa Goswami has written in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So that's why Rupa Raghunatha Padi. These two personalities are extremely important. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami has written different books. And one of them is called Manashiksha. It's only 12 verses, so doesn't really generally qualify as a book, but Srila Prabhupada calls it a book in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there are verses from that book quoted therein. I'll just go through a few, and you'll see they're very, very wonderful. And of course, they're called Manashiksha, which means instructions to the mind. Usually you give instruction to someone else. In other words, two people communicate to each other. And you've probably noticed that your mind has a mind of its own. In other words, it's like another person. And that is because what is our mind? Our mind is a subtle energy that contains the habits and conditioning of many, many lifetimes. And even though we, spirit souls, with our intelligence, may want to take a new track than the one we've been walking along for those many lifetimes, which is a track of sort of self-destruction, destruction, and just material enjoyment. Still, the mind keeps pulling there. It's like a, well, nowadays, well, yeah, it has getting records are becoming sort of, at least among collectors, in vogue again. But when you have a scratch on a record, if any of you remember record players, then it just keeps going back to that. It's supposed to be going in, you're supposed to be playing the whole thing, but it just always stays there, and you keep going back, keep going back, keep going back. So the mind is also like that. It's sort of like a broken record player or a record with a scratch in it, is that it's stuck in certain habits, and it keeps going back to those habits. It keeps dragging us back. Dragging us back means that it entices us and it activates the senses to act in certain ways which are not necessarily something that we want to do. And that's why in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna brings up this problem. Why is it that I want to do one thing, but I'm obliged to do something else? So Krishna says, well, it's through the medium of the mind by which, if one contemplates sense objects, the intelligence becomes overwhelmed and one becomes a victim of the senses. So it's like living with another person. And it's not even necessarily living with a good person, it's like living with a monster. Frankenstein, Dracula, you name it. Probably there's a lot more modern monsters nowadays. But whoever dreamt these things up, they dreamt them up because they got them up here. So yes, it's like that. Our minds are like that. And here, Manashiksha means you have to preach to your mind. And by preaching to our mind, we hear the absolute truth. That truth purifies the mind of its habits because it is transcendental subject matter. So we may not necessarily be in practice of preaching to ourselves. We see that when we preach to others, we experience the benefit because we listen. So same thing can be is that, you know, stand in the middle of a temple room or something and start talking to yourself. People may not understand, but it is something that through both reading, contemplation, and as is here, to actually address oneself, one can actually really preach to oneself. And in the way that preaching to someone else works, preaching to your mind also works. So that's why Raghunath Das Goswami recommends us to do this. So he says, instructions to the mind. And he begins in the following way. Guru goste goshtalai shu shu jana gusharagane samantre shinam nivrajana vayivadan gusharane sada dambam hitva kururatim apurvamatitaram ayi svanta adutashchatu birbiyache yudhitapada. O mind, I grasp your feet and I beg you with sweet words. This is always how someone, when you approach someone, you preach to them, humility always works, or at least if it doesn't work, nothing else is going to work. Please throw away all your pride and develop intense, extraordinary love for my spiritual master, Brajabhumi, the people of Braj, the Vaishnavas, the Brahmanas, the Gayatri Mantra, the holy name, and the transcendental shelter is the youthful couple of Raj. So here's a request, and here's in one sense the picturing of the goal to attain love. Rati apurvam atitaram, that extraordinarily unparalleled love. Rati means love. Four, and then we'll go through the list of all of these things. But first he says you have to do something. He says, sada dambha hitva, but you have to get rid of your pride. He doesn't mention anything else. He just said, put aside all of your pride. It is a unfortunate thing that, considering who we are, where we are, and what we are, that we still have, we're still proud. If you remember that Kali Yuga play, there was that one part that says, and the pauper is proud of his penny. So that this pride here is singled out as a real obstruction to the softening of the heart and the appreciation of all of these aspects of what becomes what we know as Krishna consciousness. So putting aside pride, and of course, how do you put aside pride? Tinadapisanichena, you cultivate humility. Otherwise, it doesn't work. It's not just something that you chuck out. Everything, all of these habits that are within, they become purified only when one does the right thing. And of course, first one has to have the right type of conduct. So he says, throw away all your pride. All right, now, and develop intense, extraordinary love. So, of course, love doesn't happen overnight. It's something that you have to develop. We know that Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, that it's actually already there. But the process of Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Korate Udhoi, but the process of devotional service is to awaken that love. And we see our love is directed to so many things. I like my recorder here. I like I like my friends, I love my children, I love my car, I love so many things. It's that one same love, but it gets distracted and it gets filled, screened out onto so many other things. So no, the idea is that we need to recognize that while we may have attachment to things and people in relationship to Krishna, any other type of attachment that is not in relationship to Krishna is maya. Ritiritam yapratiyatam napratiyata chatmani. So this is one of the four instructions that the Lord gives to Brahma. These are one of the seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, anything that's not in relationship to me is my illusory potency. So, and things really have to be in relationship to Krishna. You can't make believe that they're in relationship to Krishna. And the condition of our heart, it will be known whether that is actually the case or how we're actually seeing. In other words, are we Krishna conscious? Are we always conscious that everything belongs to Krishna? That everyone is part and parcel of Krishna, that everyone is Krishna's servant, and that nothing is mine. I don't have a house, I don't have a husband or a wife, I don't have a car, I don't have anything, nothing's mine. Then, when everything is seen in its proper perspective, mamma moha jita sangha dosha, then one can actually begin to really cultivate that real attachment. So, what is it that he's recommending? Extraordinary love for my spiritual master. So everything starts with that. Guru. And Guru here I'm thinking is in the plural, but it would have to be someone who knows Sanskrit better than I do. Spiritual master, spiritual masters. Guru Goshte. Goshta means the pasturing grounds. Guru Goshte, Goshtalayishu. The pasturing grounds means that's actually the definition of the word braj, where cows graze. So, Vrindavan. One needs to develop love for Vrindavan. Why is it that in 1967 or 1968, Srila Prabhupada was working on establishing what he called his American house in Vrindavan. He wanted devotees to go to Vrindavan. He wanted them to imbibe Gaudiya Vaishnava culture. He wanted them to appreciate Vrindavan life, spiritual life, because he wanted us to become attached to Braj. And Goshtalayishu, and the people of Braj. The people of Braj refers to the Brijvasis, those whom we read about in Krishna book, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the cowherd boys, the gopis, Nanda Maharaj. These are, why should we develop love for them? Because ultimately these are our family. At least if you want to be Krishna conscious, they are our family. This is not our family. They are our family. So how can you rejoin your family if you don't have love for them? And the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas means that those who... Well, who's a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is someone who wants to enter into the Vrindavan family, Vrindavan atmosphere. And lower than the Vaishnavas are the Brahmanas. Brahmins may not necessarily be Vaishnavas, but they're interested in cultivating or understanding the absolute truth. And then what are the means by which these things are, this affection is awakened, the Gayatri Mantra, or Gayatri Mantras that we receive, as well as the holy name. Here we've seen the personalities that are essential for our spiritual life, and then these are the instruments by which we practice Krishna consciousness. The Gayatri Mantra, the holy name, and ultimately, the transcendental shelter, there's the youthful kafpal of Braj. In other words, Radhan Krishna. Just like you see in that picture over there, Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing that he is Radhan Krishna. This is the transcendental shelter that is the youthful couple, but achieved only through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grace. How long are we going to go till 7:30? Hare Krishna. Well, maybe I'll sort of stop there to see if you have any questions, and otherwise we can chat a little more. Yes.
Yes, I went to London during this weekend.
Say that again.
I went to London during this weekend. I went for a job interview. And besides talking about technical stuff and whatever the role of the job was, we ended up talking about life, me and my job and my and the interviewer. We ended up talking about life and about during some discussions, during the conversations, we were wondering why we should develop get into spirituality. And I'm really new about Bhagavad Gita stuff, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. I've been to Vrindavan, many places, religious places in India and around the world, and I always wondered why we should get we should get spiritual. And I said, listen, I don't know. I but then I had a sleepless night last night on the bus, and I was reflecting a lot, and I ended up writing down some points that to me are make sense.
Yeah.
Make sense to me.
From the main point.
And I would like to know if you agree with these points, and whether you agree where we can find the answer to these points in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the main reference book of your religion, of your movement.
Mm-hmm.
So I start to read these points, if you don't mind.
Okay, start with the main one.
With the main one. Main one is the... well, I start with the... with the first, maybe, and the last. First leading to the last. The first is religion. Why should we follow religion and philosophy in order to achieve true freedom and happiness? Id est behave godly. Behave godly is something that I was told in Vrindavan by a devotee, by a chance, by during a conversation.
So why?
Sorry?
So yes. Why? What's the answer?
The answer, I read through some points.
No, I said, what's the main? I said, what's the main? You said you had some answers, so what's the main answer?
The main answer is... I really don't understand your question.
Your question was, is
yes.
that why should we engage in spirituality, develop spirituality?
Yes. Yes.
So the main answer is because we're spirit. We're not this body. So if you don't cultivate spirituality, which is a little different than religion. Religion means you believe in something.
Yes.
But that's different than spirituality, because people may believe in so many things and yet not know who they are. So why should we cultivate spirituality? Because we are spirit, we're not this body, so spirituality helps us awaken to our own spiritual identity. And unless you do that, you remain in ignorance, thinking that you're this body. And that's the main theme that, for instance, when you're talking to your interviewer, when you talk to someone else, then it's, as you said, Bhagavad Gita. This is the first thing Krishna talks about in Bhagavad Gita. Now, you have to cultivate spirituality, because unless you know who you are, you can't take another step to do anything. Right? So we have a misconception that we're this body. But we have to understand that we're not this body. There's many indications or symptoms which indicate that there's no way you can be this body, because this body is a machine. It's not a living thing, it's a dead thing, although it has life in it. So unless you know who you are, then what kind of interviewer are you? Or what do you know? So over and beyond religion and faith and other things is the science of knowing who you are. And Krishna consciousness starts with the science of knowing who you are. And that's why you have to cultivate spirituality, to know who you are. Otherwise, you're on this misconception that you're this body, and when that way you just wander around in material existence, sometimes you think you're a dog, or you're a bird, or you're a tree, or you're male or female, or this nationality or that nationality.
Another question, your answer. How can we define who we are when we eventually find who we are from the false ego?
You have to hear from perfect authority. That's how you learn anything. How do I know what arithmetic is? How do I know what chemistry is? How do I know anything? How do I know the meaning of words? How do I know that the word microphone represents a microphone? Just because someone taught me, and because everyone else is using that. So if you want to know who you are, you have to go to the perfect authority of those who know who they are, and the perfect authority is Krishna, is Bhagavad Gita. And from him, just like with anything that we want to know, we need to have a teacher and we need to have a textbook. So Bhagavad Gita is our textbook, and Bhagavad Gita teaches us to understand the distinction between the body and the soul, and that the soul is the source of consciousness that's present within the body. But to learn that, you need to chant Hare Krishna. Because our habit of identifying with this body is very strong, so unless you clear away that habit, or break a habit, you always go back. You know, habit is something that you sort of get used to after a while, and then it's like automatic, it's spontaneous. So our identity with material things is so spontaneous that it's natural. And unless you recognize that, no, this is not a good habit, and gradually I need to break this habit, free myself of that habit, you don't actually really recognize our real spiritual nature. We ignore who we really are, and we misidentify, and that's why we're suffering, and that's why we're unhappy. Because we don't act according to our nature. Someone else? Thank you.
Guru, you were saying that Gauritai are especially merciful to people in this age of Kali. And I was wondering, what warrants that mercy? Is it our potential suffering?
No, it's just that they're like that. That's their nature. They're Krishna is always, Krishna is always very merciful, but he's especially merciful in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Balaram in the form of Lord Nityananda. They're sort of the incarnations of that mercy or karuna, compassion.
So in such a yuga, because when they're going to suffer so much, they don't feel so inclined to come at that time. It seems to always be in Kali Yuga that they come to that scheme.
Well, they're connected with the whole phenomena of Lord Ramchandra's appearance, Krishna's appearance, and the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. They all appear in sequence at this specific time. It isn't that knowledge of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't there. He's mentioned Upanishads, Chaitanya Upanishad, Mahabharata, other Vedic literature, even in the Vedas, but in very, very secret way, and only very, very rare people knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, in other ages. But in this age, because nothing else really works, it requires extraordinary measures to deliver us, then they're sort of fully manifesting their presence and their mercy. Let's chant a little, and then we'll continue tomorrow morning. And I guess we got a program. We'll meet with some devotees, and we'll continue with verse 2. Didn't get very far, very, very. These are actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had. This was sort of regular reading for his disciples. He had them regularly reading Manashiksha. It was understood as the type of thing. Gaudiya Vaishnava is like knowing Bhagavad Gita verses. Everyone knows Manashiksha. Very important. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.